Heads of state and ministers from the 8 most powerful nations in the world met this week. The group of 8 faced one of the largest recent economic justice protests last year in Genoa, Italy. The G8 indirectly controls most of the world's major economic and political institutions. Access for journalists to the summit was restricted and under tight security. But Thatcher Collins for Free Speech Radio News got into the inner sanctum. He reports from Calgary.
The G7 leaders arrived yesterday, one by one, at Calgary International Airport, greeted with cowboy hats and national anthems. This is German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder. The heads of state transferred to military helicopters, flying to the remote mountain resort of Kananaskis. The official program focuses on an aid program for Africa, counterterrorism policies, and economic stability. Yet when U.S. President George W. Bush officially announced on Monday the new U.S. policy promoting an interim Palestinian state without Palestinian Authority President Yasser Arafat, this upstaged the official agenda. Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien disagrees with this policy.
And I hope that it will be a real election that will produce somebody that will be democratically elected. The president talk about perhaps it would be better to replace Mr. Arafat. I don't have a specific point of view on that. I will think it might be a good thing. I don't want to comment on that. But I just say that we need quick election there and to produce the best leadership with us.
Bush answered reporters, saying the latest invasion of the West Bank was justified. Oil is an unofficial part of the agenda. African countries who are set to receive aid are mostly major oil producers. The oil-dominated economy of Alberta is the perfect Canadian summit location. Here is Chrétien's opening comment to Bush.
Well, I'm delighted to have the president in Kananaskis. It's a beautiful part of Canada, and it's where we produce oil and natural gas that you guys need a lot.
That's right.
And I wanted to show up.
The few journalists allowed at the press photo op turned press conference were shuttled from Calgary to Kananaskis under heavy security, but only a handful of the 1,000 journalists left behind in Calgary attended non-governmental organizations and activist press conferences yesterday, including Doctors Without Borders, Representative Dr. James Orbinski.
The Global Drug Fund. That fund was created last June by Kofi Annan and again endorsed by the G8 at Genoa. And that fund calls for a $10 billion a year investment in funds toward the containment and treatment of AIDS, TB, and malaria. To date, that fund has only received only $580 million per year from the G8 countries. That represents between 5 and 7% of what the fund actually requires to function.
As Bush and Chrétien chatted, the city of Calgary held a rodeo for the press and lower-level G8 delegates. Here, I donned an official free white cowboy hat, made in Mexico, with my press badge, sponsored by Unicom, and a can of beer, brewed in Calgary. Talisman Energy is another sponsor, a Calgary-based oil company whose money Amnesty International says is fueling human rights abuses by military leaders in the Sudan.
The Calgary Stampede!
Journalists snacked on Alberta beef and Alberta pork before watching a bull with his testicles tied charge 3 poker players in the ring. I listened to journalists talk about how small and insignificant today's protest will be. Quote, no way will they get critical mass in Calgary. My bus out of the Stampede security zone was delayed by a protest of 2,000 people outside.
We don't want anyone leaving right now. Especially people don't know the area. They could end up right in the
moment.
So we're
going to
wait.
Yes, they can now move.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Thatcher Collins in Calgary.
of journalism.
Back in Kananaskis this week, a British journalist stumbled upon security plans for the G8 summit. Despite about $500 million of our tax dollars being spent on protecting the world's leaders, this British journalist obtained seating plans and diagrams of rooms at the resort. He found it at a picnic site outside the security perimeter. Canadian government official declared that the document was an outdated plan, one of the many working documents that were changed over time. I guess we'll have to take their word for it. We put up with humid summers, we put up with smog. But Toronto's also been enduring the difficulties of a drawn-out strike between city workers and the municipal government. That means no garbage pickup, no recreation services, and most importantly, no garbage pickup. Already, some of the city's garbage has begun to pile up. Designated garbage transfer stations, a fancy term for city dumps, can take hours. However, the union claims all this inconvenience and the strike is only about job security.
We have been crystal clear for weeks about what the important issues of this negotiation are, and the city has refused, absolutely refused, to address any of those main concerns.
Our ever-shy mayor, Mel Lastman, had this to say in response.
I think they pissed away their summer, to be perfectly frank with you. And I can't see them coming back before September, October.
Right now, there's no summer activities for the kids, no garbage pickup for major events like today's Gay Pride Parade, and next month's visit from the Pope. Either way, it's a smelly deal for city residents. Apparently, Italian television viewers prefer commercials to entertainment programming. The statement is the result of a survey of almost 1,000 Italian TV viewers. Most of the respondents said that Italian television is less than highbrow. Commercials do a better job of creating excitement and showing engaging TV personalities. Domestic diva Martha Stewart faced more than her usual share of media scrutiny this week. Stewart was featured on the cover of Newsweek because of accusations of insider trading. It's perfect for the media. After the economic scandals of Enron and WorldCom, a celebrity like Stewart puts a famous face in corporate corruption. And who is more equally loved and hated than Stewart?
You don't want to skimp on the limit.
But the perfect image of Stewart was up for dissemination as she made her regular appearance on CBS's The Early Show on Tuesday. In a moment worthy of parody on Saturday Night Live, Stewart tried to duck host Jane Clayson's interrogation by focusing on preparing her salad.
Good friend Martha Stewart has been in the headlines lately, fighting allegations of insider stock trading.
Hi, well, we're going to make salad.
It wasn't Stewart's best PR moment, and eventually she did have to turn away briefly from chopping cabbage to respond.
I think this will all be resolved in the very near future, and I will be exonerated.
I know that.
Ridiculousness.
Strangely, the Stewart scandal brought out some more venom from the usually excellent reporter, Adrian Arsenal. Here are some clips from her report for CBC's The National.
Nice try, but Martha Stewart, domestic goddess, can't hide behind her cabbage this time. She, of all things perfect, a woman who built a business empire on the image of the superhuman homemaker, not so fast. By the way, the head of the investigating committee,
Louisiana Congressman Billy Chosen,
is a Martha Stewart regular.
It's rich food, this Louisiana.
Cajun food is
delicious, not the gumbo, the story. Americans who already consider Martha mocking a sport seem to really enjoy going after her now. Adrian Arsenault, CBC News, Washington.
The irony is thicker than that congressman's Louisiana gumbo. The media odd couple of the week has to be The National's Peter Mansbridge interviewing U2's Bono.
He's known simply as Bono, short in name, long in reputation.
I think Peter knows something we don't hear.
In the world of music, no band is bigger than U2.
Of course, Bono was there for more serious issues. He spoke about Africa and AIDS.
You know, on a recent poll of evangelical churches, only 6% said they wanted to do something about AIDS. I mean, it is unbelievable. The leprosy of our time, if you like.
At the end of the interview, a promise was made for Bono to return to CBC to talk about the same issues again next year.
Bono, it's been good of you to talk to us, and we will talk to you a year from now. Thank you.
Okay.
Bono, short in name, long in reputation.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
If you thought Toronto's rental market was tough, you haven't lived in Hong Kong. Rental properties owned by the Hong Kong Housing Authority are seeking 3,000 people to live in their apartments. The problem is not high rent, but the fact that the apartments are believed to be haunted. Gruesome murders and suicides have taken place in some of the apartments. The apartments are also close to trash dump sites and have common bathrooms and kitchens. Property prices in Hong Kong are among the most expensive in the world. Nevertheless, about 10,000 applicants are expected to vie for the haunted suites.